Many of you know, because you maybe grew up with the stories and little Bible books or learned in CCD or on Sunday, the stories about Abraham, a man who really struggled in his faith, showed a lot of doubt in God and a lot of fear, and at times even did not trust God. Somebody that, if you go back and read the Old Testament and really enter into that story of Abraham, I think you can identify with. In the first reading today, hopefully you guys heard that and thought this is really weird, because it is. God asks Abraham to take these animals, and he lists certain animals, and he wants him to chop them in half, right down the middle, and then lay them out, spread out like that, with their carcasses up. That should have totally grossed you out when you heard it, because it does me. And then what God asks Abraham to do is to walk in between the carcasses and then back again. Why would he do that? Well, see, guys, in ancient times, this was the way you made a contract with somebody. And what would happen is the two parties, they would offer as a sacrifice to God, because God was part of that contract. And with God, we call a contract a covenant. And the two parties, one would walk in between those animals, and then the other party would walk in between those animals. And the symbolism there is this. If I break my end of this promise, if I break my end of this covenant and this contract, let what happened to these animals happen to me. And by walking in between those, you can imagine the two parties in this contract are looking at these slaughtered animals split right down the middle, and it became very palpable to them, very real to them, the gravity of the contract they're entering into. And what God is promising Abraham in this contract is, I'm going to bless you and make of you a great nation. But something interesting happens. Abraham walks between the animals, and then it says a darkness set in, so it got dark like in the evening. But then it also says a darkness set upon him. Do you ever feel like that? Even in your, especially in your faith life, that a darkness sets in? And so Abraham gets tired, kind of like the guys in the gospel today. He's wondering, is God ever going to show up? And then finally this pot, this clay pot with fire in it, shows up, symbolic of God. And it floats in the air, which would have freaked me out. And it passes between the animals and then back again. Thus God saying, I'm going to do my part in this covenant too. But this is the funny thing. You guys know the rest of the story. Abraham is told he's going to have a baby with his wife Sarah. And of course Sarah overhears this in the tent, and she laughs at God, because she's like, I'm too old. Some of you here, I know some of our families even struggle with fertility problems. And you know the depths of despair that that can cause in your life. Many of you parents who had those problems before but don't now, you know the fear that sets in. And so you can imagine how Abraham and Sarah felt. The fears. And it's actually out of that fear that Abraham does what? He says, okay, God, I know you said you're going to make of me a great nation. Maybe if I have a baby with my wife's handmaid, then we'll have a son and work it that way. And so he does, with Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, which you guys might think is weird, but that was all on the up and up at that time. And yet God comes back to him and says, Abraham, no. I told you you're going to have a baby with Sarah. And so he does. But you guys know even further the story, right? What does he ask? What does God ask Abraham to do with that new baby? That he's been all over the place trying to have this one child so that he can have a... And yet God said, you're going to be as numerous as the stars. Count them if you can. and he says, I want you to take that child, and he's going to carry the own wood on his back, just like Jesus, and I want you to burn him to death. How do you think Abraham felt then? You see, guys, these stories in the Bible are much more relatable than we can initially think. And you find in the life of Abraham this up and this down, this up and this down, this up and this down, all throughout his life, similar to ours. The mountaintop experiences where he felt close to God, he felt the promise of God, things were great. Like for many of you, perhaps the conception or birth of a child, your wedding day, the promotion at a new job, or falling in love. It's those times when you feel close to God and you can say with all your heart, God is good and God is awesome. But like Abraham, every single one of you here have also had experiences of what we call being in the valley, being low, being in that darkness that Abraham felt in today's reading. When you find out you have cancer, or a parent, or a child, or a sibling dies. When that boy or girl that you've been eyeing for years breaks up with you after you've been dating over a text message, and your heart is crushed. The valley is when it's hard to say God is good. And every single one of you here have had those two experiences. But, like in today's gospel, God wants to do for you what he did for Peter, James, and John. He wants to give you a mountaintop experience that puts you close to God that you can remember so that when you're down in the valley, you have something to hope for. And what's interesting is if you read the Bible, you'll find out that the mountaintop is where people went to encounter God. Think of Moses for a second, right? He went up that mountain. He left his tribes behind, told them to be good. They didn't exactly follow that. He went up the mountain. He encountered God in a cloud that set over Mount Horeb. And when he came down, he had three tablets in his hands, right? Don't shake your head, yes. He had two. Silly people. That's only in Mel Brooks' films. He had three. He had those two tablets and he had encountered God up on that mountain. Jesus would actually leave early in the morning because people were just grabbing at him all day. Any of your parents feel like that? He would get up early in the morning and go up a mountain to pray. Why would he go up that mountain? To get away from it all. And brothers and sisters, each one of you need that same experience in your life. And I'll admit, it's a lot harder for you than it is for me. And I know it's hard for me. I mean, I'm a priest and I still have, you know, a hard time finding time to pray. I can't imagine what it's like for a lay person. But it must be carved out, just like it was for Jesus, just like it was for Moses. And I recommend two things to make that happen. One, make a yearly retreat of one day, and one day only. Doesn't need to be longer. If you're a little bit older and your kids are out of the house, this shouldn't be a problem for you. You need to schedule it and commit to it. If you do have kids in the house, perhaps talk to grandma and grandpa or the aunts and uncles and see if you can dump them off for just one night. Take your bride out, men, for a good steak dinner or whatever she likes. If she doesn't like steak, you married the wrong woman. And you take her out for dinner that night, and then you go out to the Spiritual Life Center in Bel Air, and you spend the night out there, and you make one day of retreat until the middle of the next afternoon. Either a private or a directed retreat or one of the many, many programs they have out there every weekend. Guys, we need those mountaintop experiences where we can feel close to God. Second thing, and you've heard me say it a million times, 10 to 15 minutes of prayer every day. And I know many of you, like myself, are still struggling with that. But we gotta carve it out. We need those mountaintop experiences. Or when we're down in the valley, we don't feel the closeness of God. Keep in mind too, that even though Moses and Jesus and many other people in the Bible went up a mountain to encounter God, remember that God comes down to us. That He is nearer to you than you think. Many of you remember the poem of Footprints, where a person was looking back upon their life, and during the good times they saw two sets of footprints, one for them and another set for Jesus. And they looked back upon their life and they saw the times when things were hard and most difficult and they felt furthest away from God. And they noticed only one set of footprints. And they turned to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, why when I needed you most were you not there with me? Why is there only one set of footprints during those times?" And Jesus says, "Because those are the times when I was carrying you." Many of us also have the experience of being down in the valley, the dark times, the difficult times when it's hard to say that God is good. We had a couple snow days this past week, in case you didn't know, and Father Ben and Father Michael decided we should have a movie. And so Father Ben suggested that we watch a movie on Padre Pio, great saint from this last century, and was over in Italy during World War II, so pretty recent as far as saints go. And I wasn't quite looking forward to this movie because he said it was 3.5 hours long. And I'm like, this is on par with like Lord of the Rings Extended Edition, right? So we sat down to watch the movie, and I can tell you it was just wonderful. It was so inspiring. It's a must watch. It's in Italian, but it has English subtitles. And I don't know why, but Father Ben kept turning up the Italian. You like to hear that. And it's pretty funny when Italian people argue with each other. But in this movie, which is supposed to be very realistic to the life of Padre Pio, there's this scene where Padre Pio is actually preaching at Mass and a possessed woman comes forward spitting at him and everything. Don't get any ideas about that. And he's giving this great homily, this beautiful story about a little boy who's sitting on a stool. And he's looking up, he's little, like a 2 or 3 year old. And he's looking up at his mom doing embroidery. Now, if you've ever seen embroidery, for instance, like those logo jackets you get or shirts, and if you look on the inside, it's got that like white misshapen patch with all sorts of stitching that doesn't make any sense, right? And then on the other side, you have the logo. So this little boy is looking up at his mom's embroidery and he's seeing the back side of it. And he says, "Mom, it doesn't look very pretty." And she turns to her son and she says, "Son, it's because you haven't seen the other side yet." And you see, guys, in our lives as Christians, many of us start out with mountaintop experiences. When we're a child, we got our whole life ahead of us. When we're young, when we're in high school and college, everything's exciting, and it should be. When you get married, when you have your first child, and then most of you know here as adults that things go downhill from there. Sure, you still have peaks and joys in your life, but it becomes a little bit of the cross, doesn't it? And when you get down in those valleys, sometimes it's hard to remember the mountaintop experiences. And it's hard to remember that the mountaintop we're looking forward to in heaven is something even far beyond any mountaintop we've had in this life. And like that little boy, you're staring up at that embroidery and you're saying to God, "God, it doesn't look so good." And He's saying to you, "But you haven't seen the other side yet." There's the story of two French impressionists, Henri Matisse and Auguste Renoir. And Renoir was sick with arthritis, and yet his job, his whole livelihood was painting. And so he persisted, even when he was older, with his arthritis with painting. And his friend Matisse would visit him every day to kind of check up on him since he was old. And one day he saw him painting and he saw how much he was struggling with his arthritis. And he said to him, "August, why do you continue to paint when you're in such agony?" And August continued to focus on the canvas and just said to his friend, "The beauty remains, the pain passes." You see, he knew that in a few years, his pain would be over, but that the beauty of his painting would last for centuries. This life, brothers and sisters, though full of mountaintop experiences and great joys, is a valley. And we await a greater mountaintop than any of us have ever dreamed of before. Heaven, eternal glory, a resurrected body. And though life may be full of mountaintops and valleys, even ones that are very hard to persist through, God wants to encourage you today by reminding you that you have not yet seen the other side. And that the beauty remains, but the pain passes.